Hi, and welcome to the Finally Pregnant podcast, the podcast for people who are finally pregnant after infertility and loss. I'm your host, Kat Strawbridge, and after almost 7 years trying, multiple rounds of fertility treatment, which have sadly included pregnancy loss, I am finally pregnant. Hi there, everyone. How are you doing? Welcome to episode 7 of the Finally Pregnant podcast. Today, we're going to be talking to Toby Asare from The Bump Pay, and we're going to be talking to her about all things maternity pay and leave related. There is also some mention of paternity in there as well. Not quite as much, but if you have any questions, you can go and contact Toby. All of the details will be in the show notes and ask her any questions. And there are also some other recommendations of places you can go for further information. What's been going on here? Ren is 4 weeks old as of yesterday, which is just amazing watching her grow. I posted an image on Instagram yesterday, which was the comparison between her the day we took her home from the hospital. So that was when she was 3 days old, and yesterday when she was 4 weeks old. And yet I can't see the growth because I see her every day. But when I look at the photo, it's really obvious how much she's grown. It's incredible. The feeding is going well. I did go back to Shell Banks, who was the feeding specialist I spoke to in last week's episode, and I asked her a few questions, so that was great. And then I've also been working with a breastfeeding specialist in my area as well. So, you know, that is, touch wood, seems to be going well. We've removed the supplement bottles of expressed milk, and we're going into a feeding on demand routine. I say routine, unfortunately routine has gone out the window, which is good and bad. You know, it's good to kind of be working in a more natural pace, but there was something quite good about having a set routine and knowing where you were. Whereas now when Ren wants to eat, she eats basically. But yeah, we're muddling along and working it all out. But that's it for now. I'm going to leave you with this interview with Toby. And if you have any questions, contact me. Please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and to rate and review. And also do contact me if you have any ideas for future episodes as well. I have got 2 or 3 more pre-recorded interviews, and then potentially we'll have a break. And I will, during that break, start recording interviews for a second series. So yeah, if you have any questions, I've got a huge list already, but do let me know if you've got any ideas, just in case I haven't got them already. And yeah, we'll go from there. For now, I will hand you over to the interview, and I will bid you a happy Wednesday, or whatever day you're listening to this. Take care. Bye-bye. Hi there, and I'm really, really pleased to welcome Toby Asare with me today. Hi there, Toby. How are you?
Hi, I'm really good. Thank you.
Good, good. Toby is the founder of My Bump Pay, which is a relatively new community-based platform, which you launched just over a year ago. Is that right?
Yeah, just under a year ago, actually. It's been in my head for much, much longer than that. So yeah, definitely in some ways, it's kind of been alive for over a year.
And prior to that, so you, going back to the beginning, you studied law at University of Manchester and then went to law school in London. Then you had a really successful career guiding other talented entrepreneurs that you've now become yourself. And alongside that, you had a successful fashion blog. But you realised around the time that you got pregnant, the first time, that maternity and paternity pay was a constant point of conversation and confusion, ultimately, because you just don't know, do you, until you get into that situation. Or I guess, yeah. I looked at it 6 years ago, and because that's what I was concerned about, thinking I'd get pregnant naturally and immediately. And then by the time actually I am pregnant and going off on maternity leave, finally, it's like the last thing I'm looking at, really, because I just can't believe that it's going to happen. But it is something that we all need to look at if we work, for sure. And you have created this platform so that people can find out more and just, you know, have a place that they can go and find out all the information they need. Is that right? By all means,
yeah.
Talk to me more about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm still juggling work full time, miraculously, somehow, and doing this. But this is very much for me a labour of love, because there are so many questions, as you said, about this. And I just felt like why don't we just talk about it in a way that is fun and in a way that people can relate to and that sparks a conversation in a way that we can also hear other people's experiences as well.
Brilliant, because the alternatives are, and I've used them myself and they're great, don't get me wrong, but are the Citizens Advice Bureau. You could also go to ACAS, you can go to the government website, which are great sources of information. But like you say, it's kind of nice to bring a bit of person to it, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah. And all those sources are absolutely fantastic, amazing resources. But I just felt it's nice to bring a conversation to it. And whilst I may not have all the answers, I feel that we have a community that have various different experiences. And actually, those experiences make, you know, decision making even more powerful.
Definitely, absolutely. And coming at it from a fertility background, you know, our experiences are confused, you know, we are worried about jinxing it, so we don't want to do anything too soon. Sometimes our employers know about our fertility treatment, so they know we're pregnant really, really early, and that can cause kind of issues potentially. So we'll just go through a kind of a few questions, have a chat about some of the main points which affect everyone, and then if there are any other issues or concerns, you know, that we might have, how we can handle them.
Sure.
Super. So, first question is the first thing you do to tell your employer, and when do you do that if that's the case?
Totally depends on you as the individual. So when you feel comfortable in terms of telling your employer, you don't have to tell your employer until 15 weeks before your expected due date. So you actually have a lot of time. I think it just depends on your situation at work. It depends on the nature of your work. So if your work potentially is quite physical or requires a lot of energy, then yes, you may want to tell your employer early on. Again, if you're feeling really unwell and quite sick and you just need a few minor just to be able to still kind of perform and deliver and get on with things at work, then again, you may want to tell them slightly early on. But yeah, I think that law is there to kind of protect you and say, in the sense that you don't actually have to say anything until, you know, 15 weeks before your expected due date. So no, the first thing, you don't have to tell your employer straight away. Some will choose to speak to a trusted colleague, which is also a great thing to do, especially if maybe the colleague has been in a similar situation beforehand as well.
Absolutely. And what if your employer knows from early on? Because a lot of the time with fertility treatment, hopefully, you know, they've been understanding. Hopefully we've been able to be open about our fertility treatment. That's a work in progress in itself. But what if they know early on, you know, there is a potential that they might let it slip, that they might be looking for your replacement earlier? You know, how does that work? Where do we stand?
So the interesting thing about, as soon as you inform your employer, you're protected essentially by the law from that particular day. So, you know, your employer still has to treat you essentially in the same way that they would have done it, depending on whatever date that you would have told them. So, you know, you are protected in that sense. If you feel that maybe your employer is unfairly trying to remove you from the business or discriminate against you because you have told them about any kind of fertility treatment or impending or current pregnancy or anything like that. So in that sense, if people feel comfortable to kind of tell people early on or need to, I hope that people can take some comfort in that. And if people feel that they need some additional support, then there are things like ACAS or the Citizens Advice Bureau that maybe they can go and speak to beforehand. We have a community. So in the sense that if I can't answer your question or give support myself, I can always kind of find people who've maybe been in similar situations for people to talk to. And I think that's the nice thing about kind of what we're trying to do.
That's it, because sometimes you just want to talk to someone who's been in the same situation as you, don't you?
Exactly. And there are people out there. People don't shout about it from the rooftops, of course, because obviously it's quite a sensitive journey. But I strongly encourage people, where they can, is to seek out people that have had very similar and hopefully quite positive experiences, or any kind of experience and any kind of learnings and wisdoms that perhaps people can use to help make their own journey a little bit easier in terms of communicating with work.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely. And from a fertility point of view, I suppose that would be quite interesting. I'm sure that you do have some people on there already who come from that background and that experience. But for sure, if people want to join in and share their stories, they'd be really, really welcome.
Oh yeah, absolutely. From any point of view around this whole particular topic, but particularly I feel fertility. If you feel as if you're in the position that you feel that you can kind of talk about it and share your story or your journey, I think it's just so important, because we have a lot of people who are kind of silent watchers and silent wish and listeners, and I feel like they're really yearning for information or an experience that they can relate to. So yeah, we're definitely open to that.
What does that involve? So if someone listening to this does want to get involved and does want to share their story, how can they do that?
So they can reach out to me, they drop me an email or a message via social media. I'm quite active on Instagram, and some people I've just been talking to behind the scenes and kind of listening to their story, and when they're ready, we'll share it on our website in the form of an interview, and we'll kind of do little snippets on social media about it, and we can do a post and kind of invite the conversation. And some people are ready to do that kind of immediately as they come and approach me, or I kind of approach them. And some people haven't been, and it's been nice to maybe even just follow their journey as they're going through it. And if they then feel later on that they're at the stage to share it, then we do. But if they don't, then you know, it stays as a conversation, really. And they're happy for me to maybe share their experiences anonymously.
I was going to say, presumably you can do it anonymously if you want to, but otherwise, yeah, super. Thanks for sharing that. So going back to maternity, so statutory maternity is something that everyone pretty much is entitled to. Definitely if you're PAYE, you know, as an employer, sometimes depending on the dates, and don't worry, I won't necessarily press you for the exact dates, when you're in a contract, you still qualify. Is that right?
So it really depends on the terms of the contract, but usually what they're looking for is 26 weeks of continuous employment, and how you structured your contract may actually affect the types of maternity payments that you do get. But if you don't qualify for statutory maternity payments, then there is always maternity allowance, which is also available. And that's just about kind of getting your forms and your information in on time before you're about to go off on maternity leave.
And is there pay associated, like actual kind of cash, so to speak, associated with maternity allowance, like there is with maternity pay?
Yeah, absolutely. There is cash that is paid by the government, and that comes via the job centre, actually. So you may actually make an application through the job centre, and that's where maternity allowance payments come from.
Brilliant. Okay. And maternity pay, and I can't think exactly what it is, but the first 6 weeks is 90% of your pay, and thereafter is it about £142 a week?
About 148. It's just changed because every financial year, so every April, it increases. So it's roughly about 148 and a couple of pence per week.
Okay, and that in total, that gets paid for 9 months. Is that correct?
Yes, that in total gets paid for 9 months. Yeah.
But you're entitled to maternity leave for a year.
For a year, absolutely.
Yes, I did my research. Well, the fact that I'm kind of on maternity leave as well means that I just went through this quite recently, so I should know this, to be honest. And you mentioned the 26 weeks, so they are what they call, just so that kind of the jargon, so that we understand, qualifying weeks. Is that right?
Yes, so it's those qualifying time of which you have to have had continuous employment with that particular employer. It's 26 weeks. That's what they would call that.
And I think on the gov.uk website, there's a way that you can kind of, because it's all done on based on your due date, isn't it? Rather than, so even for me, my due date is the 12th of June, but my plan is to be induced or have a C-section at 39 weeks, which is something that we've known about for quite a long time because I'm old and it's IVF and all of that jazz. But you're not working it out based on the induced date, you're working out always based on your due date.
Yeah, absolutely. And .gov have an amazing calculator, which you can just put in all your information, your employment dates, your salary, etc. And it will give you the required information back.
And actually, because I ended up leaving work for one reason or another, because I want to do projects like this podcast and other bits and pieces. And just a random tip, not to do with maternity, but if you're leaving work, there's also a great app on there that allows you to calculate your holiday pay, which is really good. Yeah. Just a little tip, which my boss showed me when I was kind of working out how much holiday I had left. And it's really good. So you can work that out really easily. Anyway, again, I digress. So what happens? We go through fertility treatment. We may or may not have had some time off. We may or may not work for a company that has fertility policies or have to take some time off sick or, you know, and all of that. And there is kind of projects around that specific area. What happens if you, during your pregnancy, for whatever reason, might be pregnancy related, it might not be pregnancy related, although actually I think there is a difference, especially towards the end, isn't there, if it is pregnancy related to do with your maternity leave. What is, can you talk us through going off sick, not pregnancy related versus going off sick pregnancy related?
Yes. So maybe if we tackle it from the end and then work backwards, it's probably easier. So if you have any pregnancy related sickness in the last 4 weeks of your pregnancy, your employer can choose to start maternity leave from that point. I don't know if it's essentially automatic or if they have a conversation with you. I think it kind of differs from company to company effectively. I'm sure hopefully they would have a conversation with you to let you know that actually, you know, maternity leave is going to start automatically from this particular point. Any sickness prior to that should be treated as kind of normal sicknesses kind of within the company. So you would still get normal sick pay as according to your sick pay policy. I know some companies, your sick pay period or allowance would increase as you've had a longer tenure. Every policy is different. If it's something where, you know, the sickness is such that you need to make adjustments to your work and your working environment, then again, because it's pregnant, if it is pregnancy related, then, you know, your work and your office are required to make those reasonable adjustments. So yeah, that could be anything from, you know, maybe having to work from home in particular conditions or getting you a particular physical supported chair so that you're more comfortable in terms of working from home or from work.
Are you always entitled to get one of those bouncy balls? Like maybe not from work, you might have to bring it in, but surely I was talking about this the other day to someone and they said that it depends whether your work will let you. I can't imagine a workplace not letting you, surely.
Yeah, I mean, surely I can't imagine unless it's some kind of health and safety thing to others. But again, it's about what is reasonable, right? So if you believe that it's reasonable that to have that because that enables you to sit in comfort, then I can't imagine most employers saying no, unless it's a wood workshop or something like that. That's kind of...
Yeah, I was thinking roller disco. I don't know why.
it's a small investment and I'm sure most companies will allow you to do so if it means that you can actually kind of get on with your work comfortably.
Okay, super. So if it's pregnancy related and it's towards the end, so within the last 4 weeks, then your maternity might be brought forward. But outside of that, whether it's pregnancy or otherwise related, it shouldn't affect your eligibility for maternity pay.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Super. And what about additional benefits? So, you know, I work somewhere that I only got statutory, but I know there are some companies, I remember somewhere where I worked many years ago now, thinking, yes, they have the most amazing maternity pay. It was great. But you had to commit to going back after your maternity leave. So does it vary or are there set things?
Yeah, absolutely. It varies wildly. And usually down to size or the experience within the HR team or experience within maybe a management team, so to speak. So some companies will just have a policy around pay and potentially returning to work. And some policies will have, some companies will have a policy around pay and other things to do with maybe additional financial support when you return to work, so be that kind of childcare and other things like that. So I've heard of some companies actually, and I don't know if this was a kind of an absolute policy, where pregnant women were allowed to take a nap during the day. In fact, they're encouraged to take a nap during the day.
Wow, I need that job.
Yeah, and I don't know I don't know if they still have that in place now. I don't know if that was a particular manager. I know some managers are very open. In fact, they tell their pregnant staff to adjust their hours. So maybe they're coming in either just before rush hour and leaving before rush hour or something like that. So again, it's not all of these things are necessarily policy, but it just kind of comes down to either your manager or your HR department in terms of what they have in place.
But I'm sure where the pay comes into it, it should you know, be clear, shouldn't it, on your maternity pay policy document, what you get additionally, and what any criteria that you have to fulfill in order to
Any conditions that you have to fulfill. So some companies will say that in order to receive, for example, 6 months full pay, you have to have been working for the company for 2 years, for example. Yes, so it should stipulate exactly what those conditions are, if you have to pay it upon return. And if for any reason it doesn't, then it can be a tricky thing to ask, because some people feel like they don't want to disclose the fact that they're maybe thinking about having a child. But if it doesn't, then, you know, there should be a way to kind of find out. I think there is pressure or lobbying going on. So maybe the law has changed, or the law is changing. I'm not a bit foggy on this, that from day one, when an employee joins a company, those things should be made very clear to them. So sometimes people don't find these things out, and actually until they are pregnant and they have to then ask, which is a bit of a shame.
That's it. And it's something that you do, I believe. And there's another organization called, is it Work 180? And it's about encouraging employers to share their policy documents publicly, so that when you're actually looking for work, you can see them already, you know, and you have got an idea of how supportive companies are going to be. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of people that I speak to who are thinking about a family or want to be parents are thinking about these things, and ultimately are looking for a company that will grow with them as their life grows and changes, because life happens, right? Work just happens to be something that happens during life rather than the other way around. We're definitely very pro having as much information up front that allows people to make the right decision for them, either be it at the start of their career, the middle of their career, at whatever stage. I think it's, for us, it's about encouraging people to have that information so they can make the right long-term choices.
Because people kind of, I think companies can be scared of people going off on maternity leave, but I've heard such amazing stories about the people that come, you know, the mums that come back. And we are talking predominantly at the moment about mums, but we will talk about the paternity side of things in a moment as well. And the loyalty, you know, is the same as everything. It's the same as, you know, the work that I was doing previously around fertility policies. And I'm sure it's around sick policies, around compassionate leave. It's the more supported you feel by your company, the more loyal you're going to be, ultimately, isn't that the case?
Absolutely. And I think that, it's about everything. It's about your experience before you have a child, your experience whilst you're on maternity, and your experience once you return to the workplace. It's about joining that journey up together so you can make it as positive as possible for that particular employee. So therefore, they come back, they're engaged, they're loyal, they're happy, and they're excited about returning to work, and they're excited about their career.
Definitely. And how, you know, not a percentage or anything, but overall, I suppose, because it is a protected status like maternity, generally, are employers, you know, positive about it? Are they, how often, I guess things like redundancy, for example, you know, does that happen during maternity pay? What rights do you have around that?
Sadly, it does happen. I think the stats are, it's, you know, 54,000 women that it happens to a year. So it's, you know, it's something that we can't ignore. It's illegal to actually terminate somebody's employment because they're either expecting a child or they're pregnant or they have had a child. So you're right in that sense that it is a protected characteristic. But it does happen. And I do strongly believe that sometimes it's not down to a company or an organization per se necessarily. Sometimes it can be down to culture, but sometimes it's just down to poor training of various different managers or people that make those decisions. And so, yeah, I think, you know, one thing I'd love to see in the future is just kind of more training and more awareness of how to manage employees who find themselves in the situation where they're having a family or thinking about a family, A, to get the best out of them, to make the most out of it for your business as well, so that you don't have to fear people going off, yeah, to have children, because it can be a very positive thing if you know how to manage it correctly.
Definitely. And so I mentioned earlier on about partners or dads. How does, because it's called paternity, but I'm assuming that, you know, that's a generic term as well for same-sex couples. Talk to us about paternity. Do you have to, as a partner or dad, do you have to speak to your employer? How soon do you need to do that? Are there risks around, you know, redundancy or termination of contract if you tell someone that you're about to, you know, your partner is about to have a baby?
So the laws are essentially kind of pretty much the same. So again, you don't have to tell your employer until the 15 weeks before the expected due date. But yes, you do have to tell your employer to qualify for any form of paternity pay or paternity leave. So you do have to inform them. I don't actually know for a fact if you are protected, but I would imagine that one is protected against any kind of redundancy or discrimination from the paternity perspective as well. But that's an interesting question because it's never been raised. So I've never actually looked into it.
Note to self.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, that's good. That's what we want, to kind of create kind of questions and find answers along the way. So that's good. And what about parental leave? Because that applies to kind of both parents, is that right?
Yes, there are particular kind of qualifying criteria that both parents need to have in order to qualify for shared parental leave. They're a little bit technical, so I definitely do recommend kind of going on either kind of our website or .gov. To find out a little bit of information about that qualifying criteria. But essentially, you can then take blocks, or you can choose to take those blocks together at the same time, or you can maybe choose that maybe the mother does the first block, however you choose to define that block, and then the partner does the second, and then vice versa. You can rotate up until, I can't remember the maximum amount of time that you can do that for. I think it's probably around 37 weeks or slightly less, depending on how you configure those particular chunks of time. And again, there is the statutory element to shared parental leave. So that's kind of the minimum that you can get paid for that time. But some companies do actually pay an enhanced leave as well. And some companies actually have enhanced paternity leave, which is amazing. So some companies actually match their paternity leave with their maternity leave. So if you're, yeah, some companies do, for example, up to 6 months paternity leave or pay, which is amazing. So yes, the shared parental leave is available on a statutory basis as long as you fulfill the criteria. And then some companies will offer enhanced, so above statutory, for that as well.
Brilliant. I didn't realise, yeah, that was, well, I suppose, yeah, thinking about it, of course there should be statutory. But, and the idea of taking it together as well is a really nice one. I hadn't even considered that.
Yeah, I think some people really, I mean, it depends on your situation. I really feel for potentially those mothers who, you know, are maybe going to have C-sections or do have quite a traumatic birth and have quite a long healing process, who all of a sudden their partners after 2 weeks have to go back to work. I just think, you know, some people can't even go up and down the stairs essentially without support or help. So yeah, it's great that option is available. I think we just need to make men or partners feel more comfortable about actually taking up that option as well.
Yeah, I completely agree, because I think, unfortunately, you know, the whole stereotypical, you know, and this is sweeping statement, there are plenty of men that will do it and partners that will do it. But yeah, I think that there is still a bit of a stigma around that, perhaps. So it's going to take time. And we're used to stigmas, sadly, in our community. So that's just another one. So I'm going to touch upon something that is more difficult to discuss now. And especially, to be honest, where I am in my pregnancy. But because it is something that has crossed my mind, I know, suspect, that it will cross other people's minds as well. Yeah. So if you had a late miscarriage or a stillbirth, you know, and I say these things out loud and I just don't even want to be thinking about them, But if something like that happened during your pregnancy, what are your rights around that?
Yeah, I mean, in the really unfortunate and horrible circumstance that that does happen, and I really hope it doesn't for anyone listening, but I do appreciate it's, you know, some people's really, really sad reality. The law looks at it from a point of 24 weeks. So it's from the 24th week. If you unfortunately, you know, were to lose a child from that particular point, then you're actually entitled to take your maternity leave and pay as you would have done normally. And I think obviously, you know, rightly so.
Yeah, and I get, and so, but pre-24 weeks,
what is advised is that you would speak to your doctor. Your doctor would then kind of write a sick note or sick letter based on the circumstances, and that should be, you know, handed to your employer as well. And, you know, you would hope that most employers will be very compassionate around that. So most employers will most definitely honour what your doctor has requested. And some employers may even be compassionate and give you a little bit more time.
Yeah, let's hope so, for sure. And presumably, similarly with the partner, that would be, you know, something similar.
Yeah, with the partner, I think it would be similar in the case of kind of 24 weeks onwards. And in the case of beyond, so less than 24 weeks, that's something I'm not 100% sure about, if there's kind of any law, any statute to cover the partner, unfortunately. But it's definitely something I can look into and make sure that we cover. And I would hope that there is some kind of law or some kind of statute to also cover the partners, because, you know, they're equally involved in the journey as well.
Absolutely, definitely. So thank you for discussing that. I know it's a hard one, and sorry to anyone listening, I don't want to kind of, you know, create any upset, but we do, unfortunately, you know, we're constantly worrying about things. I think being part of this community, sometimes we can know too much. And yeah. I know certainly that I'm kind of not always thinking worst case scenario, but as I'm getting towards the end of my pregnancy, so I'm just over 36 weeks now, there is lots of anxiety right at the beginning, and confusion, and, you know, this kind of thing, like, what do I do about my sick pay? And and one thing we haven't mentioned actually, is you get your MAP 1B form from your midwife, don't you? Is that at 20 weeks?
It's roughly around 20 weeks. So yeah. I know I got mine roughly, I think it was maybe 24 weeks or something like that. I just had them at the same time that I had an appointment, and just requested for my form. But it is roughly around 20 weeks.
Uh-huh. But it's the midwife that we go to speak to about that. But yes. Yeah, it's just, you know, there is the confusion around maternity pay and lots of other bits and pieces, which I cover kind of throughout this podcast in other episodes as well. But I've realised that I'm feeling more anxious again at the end, and I don't want to. And I'm really trying not to, but, you know, some of these thoughts cross your mind. And I have finished work now and left work, so it doesn't necessarily come up for me, but it might do, God forbid, for other people. So on a much, much nicer note, and going back more to kind of, you know, fertility and different routes to becoming a parent, what about things like surrogacy? So not when you're not necessarily the pregnant person, but you're having a baby. How does that work?
Yeah, so surrogacy in terms of leave and pay works, thankfully, in exactly the same way that maternity does, and the same with adoption as well. So you are by law entitled to the year, and you're also entitled to the same maternity pay that anyone else would who's having a baby. That's a really nice thing, that obviously you've got that time and that money also.
Definitely. And I know that I've come across companies that do have certainly adoption. They wouldn't necessarily have surrogacy in there, but it's good to know that that is a right and a statutory thing, and they won't have other things. But I guess if it is a law, then they need to have it. They have to have it. So that's why it does exist. But that's brilliant. And we just need to, I've still got my fertility hat on. We just need to get a policy that is the law for fertility as well. But anyway, that's that's a personal passion thing. But yeah, no, so that's great. So you're covered. And again, I'm sure for both partners, you know, it's similar perhaps to kind of I say this in inverted commas, standard maternity leave, as in you don't necessarily get more or less, but you get what you would expect. Super. Exactly. Is there anything else that, you know, like, tell us possibly not your worst story, because we don't want to put any more badness into people's heads, but, you know, something that has come up that's unusual perhaps, or something that you get asked all the time that we haven't covered today?
I get asked so much. So something that's quite popular is holiday, and holiday accrual and what to do with holiday days. So I had a question today, actually. So I think the question was effectively that if she doesn't use her holiday in this year, 2019, while she's on maternity leave, can she carry it over? And I think most companies don't let you. However, there's always a possibility, if you ask, that they may let you carry over a portion into the next year. So yeah, a very popular question is about holidays and accrual and how to not lose out on holidays even though you're on maternity leave.
Definitely. And you can use your holiday, I guess, in that instance, if you weren't able to push it into the following year, you could use it to extend your maternity leave on this side so you can have a little rest beforehand.
Exactly, yeah. And I did that before. And yeah, it's quite a nice thing to do because it means that on the other end, your maternity pay, quote unquote, starts a bit later, so then finishes a little bit later as well.
Ah, because you could. So is there a date that your maternity pay or leave has to start?
I'm not actually 100% sure. And I think it depends on the amount of holiday that you have left. So in my example, I used 9 days of holiday. So I left the office, I think I remember the exact date, but it was August the 11th. And then my maternity pay, quote unquote, the purposes of paper and books, started on August the 25th. So that meant that obviously before then it was just holiday, normal salary pay. And then August 25th is when maternity payments kind of kicked in.
And what was your due date, can I ask?
My due date was the September the 14th.
Okay. So your maternity pay had started prior to that anyway. I think, and again, check, but I think that it might have to start on your due date, if not before.
It kind of
kicks in, or the moment that you have your baby, which could be earlier.
That would make sense. Yeah, I think that would make sense. Otherwise, people could just take holiday forever, really.
Yeah. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah, just pay me, it's fine. Super. Okay, then. Well, thank you so much for that. I really, really appreciate it, Toby. And I encourage everyone to go and have a look and share their stories with you, because the more we can talk about fertility and fertility pregnancies as well, and different, you know, different versions of that, whether it be surrogacy, adoption, donor. And actually, donor isn't something that we've discussed, which perhaps we should just now. Are there any different laws around that? I'm really hoping you're going to say no, quite frankly.
No, I haven't seen any different laws around the whole donor process, actually. There's a really, I don't know too much about it, unfortunately, but there really is a really interesting lady on Instagram. I think her handle is called The Stork and I. And she does coaching around kind of donorship, and she's actually a single parent donor.
Yes.
So I would definitely kind of recommend following her if that's kind of a path that people are thinking about going down. But I would like to hope and like to believe, I think what the law is trying to do is effectively say any way or any how you become a parent, you have access to exactly the same rights and protections. So that's what I would like to believe is the case, but I can't say for sure.
Yeah, and I don't think you have to tell anyone that it's donor, to be honest.
No, exactly.
You can. The Stork and I'm sure that her name is Mel, actually. She is someone that I do follow, and she's fabulous. So yeah, that's a really good recommendation. And you brought in their solo mums as well. But again, that should be, you know, completely statutory, and, you know, as in the rights, etc., around that.
Absolutely, yeah, exactly the same, yeah.
Super. Okay, well, I think, like, there's lots of other things that we could cover, but I'm sure that they are things like, you know, midwife appointments and doctor's appointments and things like that. But a lot of organizations, they do have that in their policies, don't they?
Yes, definitely. And I would hope that, you know, in that conversation or in the subsequent conversations that you have with HR, you know, they would say that, you know, of course you can kind of take your it's law that you have to have the time to take those appointments. Some people, for various different reasons, environments, culture, feel that they can't, but the law is there to protect you, to protect the health of you and your baby. So you absolutely must.
Yeah, definitely. And it is, you know, after going through all the fertility treatment, like, I just want to, you know, reassure everyone that maternity is a protected characteristic. Like, this is the place that you're safe. Mm. In theory, I know it isn't always the case, but in theory, like, this is where there are laws that protect you, that you, you know, you do have rights, because we come from a place with fertility that there aren't, and you don't. But this is a place that you should be able to feel safe, and everything should be clear on the policy as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes, you know, for various different reasons, it's not, and people don't feel safe. And I think, you know, that's a sad reality. But at the same time, I think there's so many great organizations out there and communities out there whereby you can get information and help. And another one that I'm a big fan of is Pregnant Then Screwed. They're doing incredible work in this arena as well, and they actually have a helpline. So yeah, there are loads of resources out there to help people. It's just about, I think one thing that I'm really passionate about is within this community is just showing people where and how they can get help, not just from us. It's about all these amazing, wonderful people and organizations that are doing some really positive stuff.
No, I completely agree. It's like, if we don't know the answer, or we know someone is doing something different around it, it's just signposting, isn't it? 100%. Yeah, fabulous. Definitely. Toby, thank you so much for giving up some of your evening. I'm really, really sorry about that. But yeah, it's been really great to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I'll put links to you, to your Instagram, to your website, etc., in the show notes, and a couple of things we've talked about as well, to signpost people to other areas. If anyone wants to get in touch with you to share their story or to ask any questions, they can do that. And yeah, we'll definitely see you over on your grid.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And yeah, I wish you all the best of your journey as well.
Thank you so much, Toby. I really appreciate that. Take care then. Bye-bye.